This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
On an iPad, it does not come with a calculator app or a weather app. You have to download them, and they're not like, you cannot download an Apple calculator app for your iPad.
It's
like
weird.
Google, like, it's the stupidest thing. It comes with, like, I'm like, why? Like, I use the calculator app on the iPhone all the time. You just, like, swipe up and you've got it on the bottom, and it drives me freaking crazy.
To all the Apple engineers who listen to the show.
Right?
We're talking to you. Help us out.
Right?
It's just, maybe make a Talk 30 Rock to Me branded calculator that comes immediately on everyone's iPad.
I think so.
I'm thinking big.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm thinking calculators. I'm thinking weather apps. I'm thinking abacuses.
And we're not talking to Android users.
No, boo. You made choices.
3, 4.
Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to Me. It is great.
Hi, I'm Kelsey.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Talk 30 Rock to Me.
We're going to do a throwback here.
I know. I just thought I'd keep doing it. I was trying to find something to do and I got lost. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
My tea isn't brewed yet. Look how milky it is. It didn't brew well at all.
Ew, no,
I was trying
not.
To make tea. I just want to wake up, Kelsey. Help me wake up.
Good morning.
Good morning. What is that from, Kelsey?
It's from Singing in the Rain.
Good girl. Look at you.
Please.
Knowing your ish.
Please.
So proud of you.
Anyway, so this is Talk 30 Rock to Me, a podcast all about our love for Tina Fey, 30 Rock, and badass ladies.
And laughing. We love to laugh.
We do love to laugh.
I love to laugh. Ha, 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 ha,
what is that? That's from Mary Poppins, right?
Yeah, look at us being so musical today.
I'm seeing that next Sunday with my parents and my little sister.
Ooh, where?
At the Carpenter Center at Cal State Long Beach.
Is that named after Karen Carpenter?
Yes, it is. They're there sometimes, actually.
Karen isn't.
No, sorry, her kids are there. They sit.
That's pretty rough, Kelsey.
Right? Sorry. They sit, I think, right in front of my parents' seats. I can't remember, but
whoa,
yeah. When they happen to go there, like, they're assigned seats. So this, I'm excited. I
this tea is away. Terrible. It tastes like warm milk. I'm putting it down.
Gross.
Didn't work. Sorry, tea.
If you like us and you feel like telling us, we love love letters, especially in the form of reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So feel free to leave.
We
us
also
a little
take
note
presents.
There.
Presents are always
we
game.
Do take
we love presents.
Presents,
particularly in the form of tea. Or
okay, Kimmy loves in the form of tea. I'm very particular with my
or
tea.
Pillows, as has been done before.
That's been adorable.
Or artwork. Personally, I really want some fan art of Kelsey and I as 30 Rock characters in a hot air balloon. Like, I just want me if I was Kenneth, but I'm in a hot air balloon with Kelsey, if she was Jack Donaghy in a hot air balloon.
Okay, so one of the, I'm not.
You're not.
Sure,
you're like not
weird.
Engaging.
No, no.
At all.
Because what I'm sorry, I'm all of my apps updated and the little blue dots are bothering me, so I was opening and closing everything.
No.
One of my best friends, Lee. Her mom just got married last weekend, and their theme was hot air balloons because it was so stinking cute. And like they have their pictures are them in like in the basket of a hot air. It's really cute.
So I hope no one brought up the really great article that just came out, I think, on the Atlantic about all the different. No, on Atlas Obscura about all the great hot air balloon deaths and tragedies that have taken place over the past 200
years. You know, I'm pretty sure the pastor talked about all of those and can you imagine they're like and we're
death
here today.
Is close do you take this woman till death do you part in a hot air balloon because that's probably what's gonna happen if
so
you're in a hot air balloon
my
did they ride away in a hot air balloon was it a
no,
like
but they I believe they got engaged at a hot air balloon place
but like wouldn't that be such a great like bye like the goodbye but instead
from
of a
Wizard
car,
of Oz.
It's a car, it's a hot air balloon that takes them to the hotel
maybe that would be adorable
I'm
my favorite was that their hashtag for the wedding so Lee's mom's name is Vicky and her new husband's name is Tom and so their hashtag was Victom of Love like victim of love but Victom of Love I thought it was adorable
it's really good but also I'm so over wedding hashtags I really want my wedding hashtag to be hashtag wedding
well then
hashtag wedding hashtag
mine's gonna be hashtag you weren't there My plan is to elope. You will find out 24 hours ahead of time.
That's true.
And if you can make it cool, if not, you can come to the
reception. I really hope this is what I want you to do, Kelsey. When you call me, be like, hey, Kimmy. And then, wah, 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 wah. It's my air horn impression. The race is on. We're getting married in Vegas in 24 hours. Be there. And then I'm like running and it becomes like then the movie version. Now, wah, wah, wah. I can't do it. Sam Richardson does it so good in The Office Portrait where he's like, wah, 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 wah. And it's so funny to me.
Yeah.
That one wasn't as good.
No, it wasn't.
It's okay.
My first one was better.
My first one was terrible. My last one was the best one. Anyway, how did we get here? I have no idea. We get to hot air balloons and wedding hashtags.
I don't know how I jumped there so quickly.
I don't know how we got to hot air balloons. It was something with a wedding.
Nikki victim.
I don't know.
Godspeed. I don't even know.
Godspeed. Oh, I want art. So please make us art and then send it to us. You will get a shout out. And if you want, I'll kiss a letter while wearing lipstick and send it to you.
Apparently I will too then.
No,
I wear lipstick more than you do, I'm pretty sure.
I wear lipstick twice a week.
I wear lipstick almost every day.
Oh, that's fair.
You probably haven't seen my natural lips in a very long time.
Are these your natural lips right now? No. Oh, they look natural.
I know.
You're doing such a good job.
When I was in seventh grade, somebody saw me putting lipstick on at my locker and they were like, you wear lipstick? I'm like, every day. They're like, we thought that was your natural lips because your lips match your hair, match your glasses frames. And I'm like, and my eyes. And I'm like, nope, this is 5078 from Wet n Wild.
Damn.
And then Wet n Wild stopped making my lipstick and it was a problem.
Now, did you buy a million and freeze them?
I should have. My problem is, never mind, we don't need to talk about this. If you buy things on Amazon, like Wet n Wild lipstick, maybe
that's where you could get it.
You can go through our link on boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rock to me, click support our artists. It'll take you to Amazon and buy some fun stuff. Maybe you can buy Kimmy a hot air balloon.
I would love that. I did just buy a shelving unit. I did forget to use our click. But you shouldn't do that.
No, I just have it bookmarked. And so when I start typing in Amazon, it pops up down below and I click on that.
Oh, that was really impressive. That one was like particularly parody today.
That was, I know, right? Oh, man.
This is so off topic, but I'm going to do it because I'm sleepy. Chris Fairbanks has this incredible joke I love about parrots.
Okay.
And basically he's like, why does anyone have a bird? It's like, oh, I'm going to take something with wings and put it in a cage and look at it from across the room. But then he has this joke. He goes, but I want a parrot. I want to train it to say, help, I'm a man who was captured by a witch. I miss my wife. And it's one of the funniest jokes I've heard. Every time I've heard him tell it like twice or three times. And every time he does it, I like cry in the back. I just love that. I miss my wife.
On Friday night, I was at a memorial service. And afterwards, we were like eating crackers and stuff.
It's really dark and really strange.
It was a beautiful memorial service. Like it was, although we were sitting there and like the woman who died, I know her kids and her grandkids. And so it was a lady who the rest of her family goes to my church, and she was very musical and her kids were very musical and they were all performing different things. And like one of her daughters got up and played the flute, and I was sitting next to my mom and I started tearing up while she was playing the flute, and I turned to my mom and I'm like, I won't be able to do that for you at your funeral. Like, I'll be crying too much. It was very odd to sit next to my mom during a memorial service, because then like her kids kept getting up on the stage. My mom was like, their kids are funny. And because they were telling like great stories about their mom. And I turned to her and I'm like, mom, when you die, I'm going to tell the story of the time that you bought a bunch of goldfish and put them in the bathtub and they all died. And then I was like, and then I'm going to tell the story of the time we snuck back and put a metronome in Selah's car to make her think there was a bomb in there. I'm like, I'm going to tell these great stories. I'm like, I've got my stories ready for when you die.
These are great stories.
Yeah, it was pretty
also
good.
Mom, I'm going to tell them on a podcast.
Yeah,
too.
Right. Exactly.
So it won't be a surprise to anyone.
To anybody. I don't think any of my podcasts. Well, maybe if my family members listen to this, I don't know, but it was kind of fun to sit next to my mom and it was a very joyous memorial service. But afterwards we were sitting there eating crackers and cookies, and this girl Abby was standing next to me and she kept dropping her crackers, and I'm like, Abby, like, come on now, like, crackers aren't that heavy. And I ended up telling her that like she's doing a worse job than a parrot. Because parrots went under their crackers better than she does.
Have you seen a parrot eat? That's not true.
Well, sure, but it was funny in the moment, and she thought it was funny. But she dropped two crackers on the ground, and I like made fun of her after the first one, and then she dropped another one. I'm like, Abby, come on now. Anyways, I don't know why we were talking about that. Memorial services, crackers. Oh, because you said something about crackers.
I told the Chris Fairbanks joke.
There we go. Sorry.
I talked about parrots.
That's where we got there.
Well, anyway. Buy a bird on Amazon and use our click through.
There we go. Yeah. Can you buy animals like that on Amazon?
I don't know. You can buy them at Harrods, so I imagine you can on Amazon, but who knows?
Interesting.
You can get anything. Also, they come from China, so I assume yes.
The parrots?
Goldfish.
Oh.
Goldfish are Chinese.
Maybe it's when you buy a bird on Amazon, I bet it comes like Job.
You probably can't buy a bird.
But think about it's like Job where they're water activated. Where he like pulls them out and he like has like the water in his hands and they come alive Did I ever tell you about the time that I was at a church in the Philippines and they were doing like promo for some youth group event and they used that song and I was like, it's Joe. I'm like I forgot. I think that was the first time I'd ever heard that song used in context beyond Arrested Development, and it was pretty entertaining. I wrote it in my church notes for that day. Anyway, 30-30. It's your turn.
It's my 30-30 today. My 30-30 is Baby Driver. I already did this, and I'm doing it again. You know why? It was that effing good. Also, for some reason, when I talked about last week, I forgot John Hamm was both on this show and on that movie.
What?
Like an idiot. God, he's so good at it, too. He's all like gruff and scruffy, and he's super involved and like, he's in the ending and it's crazy. But everyone wants to see Baby Driver because I want to see it again. I'm hopefully seeing it on Thursday. And Thursday, 2 weeks ago when this comes out.
Right.
I just want to talk about Baby Driver all the time. So you haven't seen it. Are you going to see it, you think?
I had meant to see it on 4th of July and I was literally on my way to see it. And my friend was like, we're doing this. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because I couldn't decide what I was going to do that day. And it was early in the morning and that's what I was going to do. And
oh, fair.
But oh, I'm planning on seeing it though. Maybe I'll see it when I'm in San Francisco.
It's so good. It's like Baby Driver. No, that's not the song. But I listen to the soundtrack constantly and little Ansel Elgort's like stressed out face is like in my brain. It's so good. The movie is just such a delight. And John Hamm is excellent in it. He's super funny. I don't know. That man, former guest Will Blanchard once said that he is kind of like a Harrison Ford kind of actor where he kind of does these two roles. And I think there's actually a lot to say to that. I think he reminds me a lot of Harrison Ford in the sense that I could see him in a lot of roles. He hasn't had big roles like Harrison Ford has. He's not, it's weird. Other than TV shows, he hasn't had a lot of leading man roles. Maybe he's just too handsome.
Maybe.
I genuinely mean this. He might be too handsome where people don't know what to do with him, which is why it's so great when he's so funny, like on this show.
Yeah.
Because it's so, it just thwarts you so much to be like, he's that good looking and that handsome.
Right. Dang it.
Oh, wait, no, I said the same thing twice. He's that good looking and funny. He's that good looking and he's handsome. No, he's just the most handsome man on earth. And he's so good in Baby Driver. He pretty much just makes out with this girl the whole time. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Lucky woman. I don't know. I just can't. That movie is so fun and interesting and well done. And the chase scenes are excellent. And everyone go see it. I might as well just write a check to Edgar right now. Here's all my money. I'm going to watch it a bunch. But then I wouldn't get to see it if I did it that way. So I should just go see it. But I've thought about it. I'm just going to write Edgar a check.
Like Venmo him.
Yeah. Dear. You would search people on Venmo.
Can you search a celebrity? I lost my phone.
Oh, this is not. I like how you and I are both like, what if?
The people that need the money the most are the easiest to find on Venmo.
It's true. Well, let's just see if we can just send Edgar Wright.
Or just like
$20.
A complete stranger,
Baby Driver.
Also named Edgar Wright. Like, hey, write good movies. You already do. So.
W-R-I-G-H-T.
Oh, there's nobody named Edgar Wright.
Because you know
Venmo.
He doesn't need Venmo because he's a director and directors make a lot of money and they don't need Venmo.
Oh, that's really depressing.
Well, I can't send him money through Venmo, so I guess I just have to go see the movie. But everyone go see.
Ham.
H-A-M-M. Let's see,
no,
it's John
Hamm. Hamm either. Dang.
How are we supposed to give them the money for their excellent work at Baby Driver? I guess just go see the movie, guys. Go see Baby Driver. It's pretty much just joy.
Done.
That's it. I don't have much to say. I pretty much just said that the other week. But I felt like I need to be revisited because at this point when this comes out, Baby Driver's been out a month. Do it.
Go see The Big Sick just because.
The Big Sick's great. But also just when you're watching it, just think of this moment that I had to do. You'll know what it is. But bell bottoms. That's just, it's the beginning of the movie and they just sing that song and it's so good.
I just took you on a weird journey.
But if you've seen Baby Driver, you're like, ha.
Oh, it's an inside joke with all
it's
the
not thousands
inside joke. Of other
people. It's just a thing that happens in Baby Driver. So
I like it.
Everyone go see it.
Cool, cool. Talk about this episode.
Yep. I'm ready to get really into more depth about how much I love John Hamm. I'm really ready to talk about it.
In case it wasn't clear already.
Oh, good. You like dedicated that to that. That was very intense.
So today's episode is season 3, episode 11, Saint Valentine's Day. Air date was February 12th, 2009.
2 days before. Perfect timing.
So close.
Oh, so it was a Saturday that year. It would have been a good date night.
Oh. How did you know it was a Saturday?
Because this was Thursday night comedy.
Oh, good call. I was all like, how did you know that?
I'm a wizard.
Director, you looked up the day Valentine's Day was, but not the day the episode aired. director was Don Scardino, written by Jack Burda and Miss Tina Fey. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to do this for the first time. From according to IMDb, the recap is Liz has a... Actually, it's written by... jgp3553@yahoo.com. So send him a thank you. According to this, Liz has a disastrous first date with Dr. Baird on Valentine's Day. Elisa makes Jack go to church with her before their date, and Kenneth gets a date with a blind woman.
Oh my gosh. It's what is her name?
Maria
Fair?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, she's so funny. So have you ever watched her show, Those Who Can't?
No, I know her from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh yeah, duh, because they're in that together. Probably they made this, actually, is right around
that was in 08, so that was about a year before this.
It came out in 08?
The first Gary and Sarah Marshall came out in 08.
Well, that means they would have filmed it in 07.
Oh yeah. So it would have been a year even earlier. Because this came out in 09. This episode came out in 09.
Oh, I thought you were saying this came out in 07.
No.
That makes sense. So they made it 2 years before.
Yeah.
So they must be bros. She's amazing. I saw her do improv at UCB. Maybe a year ago, and she was delightful. Yeah. She was with Thomas Middleditch, and they did a scene. She was reciting lines from Romeo and Juliet as Juliet, and he was supposed to improv based on that.
Okay.
So she was Juliet, and he was pretending to be the dude who comes before Romeo. It was absolutely hilarious, and he's perfect for that because he's done improv Shakespeare, so he's really good at creating those moments. Oh my God, she was so funny though. And so she's on this great show called Those Who Can't with, oh my God, I never remember their names. It's this like basically these three dudes who are this comedy troupe in Colorado.
Okay.
For based out of Colorado, and they're amazing. And then it's her and Rory Scovel.
Oh, interesting.
I'm gonna make a lot of there's other things I was gonna talk about with comedians too, so I'm gonna I started with Chris Fairbanks and we're gonna go all the way, but
cool.
She's super funny on that show, and I recommend if you guys like her at all in this, you should watch that.
Cool. Well, let's start with that storyline. So who comes up to her? Frank comes up to Kenneth in the beginning of the episode and is like, I'm supposed to be giving a tour to this blind girl, but three of the dancers just found out they're dating the same guy, so I'm gonna go watch that instead. And Kenneth is just floored by this woman because she's beautiful, and she walks up and he's struggling to talk. He goes to pour her coffee. He doesn't even realize it's her at first, and he's helping her trying to reach for something, and then he gets all nervous and pours coffee on his feet. And my favorite is just that Tracy is watching this happen and decides to take Kenneth under his wing to help him get a date with that sexy Miss Magoo.
Well, who is Miss Magoo? What is that a reference to? Because I didn't think Mr. Magoo was blind.
No, I don't think he was either. I thought there was like a kid's like story rhyme thing with the UU. Oh, that's Mr. Magoo. I tried to figure it out and I looked it up and then I got stuck on Mr. Magoo.
Wait, why'd you get stuck on Mr. Magoo?
Because it wasn't Miss Magoo and I was like, nah, not the same thing.
No, it is. That's why he was calling her. That is 100% what they're talking about. Miss Magoo isn't someone. Mr. Magoo is someone. Is that what you mean? You got stuck. You didn't.
Yeah, I was like, it's not Miss Magoo, and I was tired.
Oh no, it's based on Mr. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Quincy Magoo. This is Wikipedia. Quincy Magoo, or simply Mr. Magoo, is a cartoon character created by UPA Studios in 1949. Quincy Magoo is a wealthy, short-statured retiree who gets into a series of comical situations as a result of his extreme nearsightedness.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. No, that's the thing. I knew Mr. Magoo was a thing, and so I knew that's what they were referencing, but I couldn't remember who Mr. Magoo was. I think I was mixing up with Dennis the Menace, and like whoever the Mr. Wilson. So that doesn't make sense. I've seen these. They show Mr. Magoo's things at the New Beverly every now and then.
Okay,
they'll do really great. Have you ever seen a Mr. Magoo thing?
It sounded familiar. Maybe at one point
he's like a, he like always is like a very happy, very blind man who's walking in. He's just like, oh, And he'll like pick up a porcupine. Nice kitty. And like he gets it, and he like walks off almost ledges, and he's always totally fine. It's a cartoon. Okay. But he always gets in. He's funny. Okay. All of this makes sense now. We worked through this mystery.
Good. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time we learn about the whole .com and Grizz's fiance thing?
Yes, this is establishing that amazing storyline that takes us to the rest of the show.
The rest of the show, yeah. So
I love. So I've seen True Love before. I've saw it. What was the first
one? I saw it when I met Angie. And I saw it the first time .com laid eyes on Grizz's fiance.
It's so good. Who's named Fiance.
Fiance, which we don't hear about that yet, though. Not until later.
But it's such a good name.
It's my fiance. Fiance. And this is where Kenneth
so close
does
to Beyonce.
This like squeal. When Tracy is talking to him about Miss Magoo, and he just did this like, oh my, it's just the cute, that was not cute the way he does it, it's just this cute little squeal. And then Tracy being his wingman, and Ken's face when he's seeing when Tracy stands behind Ken to make it sound like his voice is coming from Kenneth, and Ken's face when he's like looking at, I'm gonna keep calling her Miss Magoo, when he looks at Miss Magoo and looks at Tracy like, you're doing this, and he's just so stinking cute. And she's like, you know, like, I'm going to go for this. My instincts have never let me down, except for that time I was looking at an eclipse.
It's such a good joke.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
So then they go on their date, which ends up being at the studio, which I just love all the things where I'm like, wow, that just felt like we went around the building 50 times. Well, yes, that's how you get to the fanciest restaurant in New York. And then I just felt something like all of those other guys, like, they don't get to do Valentine's Day. It's all about Tracy at this point, which we've learned before that like Valentine's Day is a big night for Tracy.
It's a big
and
night for Angie. Yeah. So I'm really surprised. But then again, she must have some sort of relationship with Kenneth. You know, he's he's thrown up in her foyer.
Oh, that's true.
So I wonder if she's really rooting for him.
In my damn foyer.
Exactly. he's just eating. My body wouldn't let me go against the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah.
God bless him. No, I know. When Tracy says something, they both have to give it up.
Yes.
But it's so funny how Grizz is like, oh, poor fiance. And he goes, it's okay. I sent her flowers and chocolate.
Yes. He's like, oh, you're a good friend or whatever.
It's such a weird dynamic between the two of them.
And then what's the joke that gets made when, like, oh, in like this restaurant's busy. And so they're like pretending and like, oh, in live music. And he makes a joke. I can't remember who he says it is, but it's some other, like, Jenna's ready to sing.
It's Michael McDonald.
Is that who she says?
So okay, I'm assuming you're not much of a Kareth 101 listener.
I'm sorry?
Are you not a Kareth 101 listener?
No, I'm not.
Michael McDonald is regularly played on the Kareth 101, so I'm aware of it.
So
what's really funny is that's a not too bad impression of Michael McDonald.
She just jumps real quick.
Jeff Richmond is there, yes. God bless him, leading her on. She's not mean to him this time, which is great because she's so mad at Tracy. But it's just the funniest thing. It's literally would be the hardest thing for Jenna to do as a Michael McDonald. Because, again, that's not too, other than the fact that you can't understand the words with her, that's a really accurate impression of Michael McDonald. He sings, da, 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 da. It's like breathy in 80s.
Okay,
it's so funny. That's my Michael McDonald impression. I think it was pretty great.
I wouldn't know, but I will agree.
No,
apparently.
I love that. That's what he throws at her. He has Jenna, who's such an amazing singer, and that's what he gives her,
right? And she just owns it. And she's like, she could have been like, and now Michael McDonald has just left, and please welcome or whatever.
I know, but Barbara Streisand. What are some of the catchphrases that Tracy says as Kenneth? It's like corn cob.
Oh, the diddly do. Like he just says the things that you would think Kenneth would say. Is what he ends up
which
saying.
Is just so ridiculous because it sounds nothing like Kenneth whatsoever.
Right?
It's so funny.
I love it though.
Uh-huh. He's so there for Ken.
But it's clearly what Tracy thinks of Kenneth.
Exactly. I was just actually listening, speaking of the Big Sick, Emily and Kumail did an interview on Nerdist with Chris Hardwick.
Okay.
I should say Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon. And they talked about how actually there's no better way to see how someone feels about you than seeing how they do an impression of you. Or see how you feel about someone by doing an impression of them. Because usually if you're mad at them, it comes out like, me, 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 me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like we do. It's like, oh, I'm da, da, da. Like so much of your feelings pop out.
My friend John does a really good impression of me and it's really funny to listen to.
Oh, I want
to
hear this. Maybe he'll just, can we have him just be you on an episode sometime?
I don't think he could do that for that long.
I think we'd have to. I mean, I just think it's a muscle and he needs to work it.
There we go.
I'll tell him that's how I feel. It's gonna be great. So
I love it. But so that storyline ends with Blind Girl deciding to feel Kenneth's face so she can see.
Because she thinks he's got such a beautiful, he's so beautiful on the inside. She wants to know what he's like on the outside.
And then she's also like, oh, look at the time. Like, damn, that's cold.
She's so in it. And then she gets to the chin. Like, and it's so sad. And then she feels her own as comparison.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad.
But I just love when he's like, damn, that's cold, blind lady. And like, and you ain't even that hot or whatever. And she's like, no, I'm pretty sure I'm hot. He's like, yeah, you're right. Like,
she is hot. She's lovely.
I love
it. So funny. Oh my gosh, poor Kenneth. Love is a, that chin causes him a problem again.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know, like, is the chin like too pointy, too big, too small?
He doesn't have much of one.
Oh, that's what the problem
That's why
is.
She was going like this, like grabbing underneath. Because they've made a joke. She goes, I'll cut it. She's like, I'll cut you so you have chins.
You'll all have chins.
That's right. It's because they're always teasing about the fact that he doesn't have much of a chin. I mean, Jack McBrayer is super handsome and it doesn't matter, but it's like a really mean burn. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of wraps up that story. Oh, there is a Frank hat, though, that is... I wrote confusion ? It's not the word. It is all sorts. It's garbled and it's really hard to know what it actually says.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure it out. Did you see it?
No,
I couldn't.
It was just like a million letters, right?
Yeah. I'll post a picture of it because I was like, that is not like, look at that. I just couldn't figure it out.
Reed. It's Reed. Those are the ones, the yellow ones spell out Reed.
No, it doesn't. That's a P.
Wait, can I see?
P-A-E-D upside down. And there's even letters on the
You're right.
Visor
the
part
A
of the hat.
The way the A worked, it made me think it was an R. Yep. And I was like, it says Reed, Kelsey. We figured this out.
Nope.
Damn it, it's still a mystery.
Couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do we jump to the Liz storyline next or the Jack storyline next? They're kind of equal A stories, I
think. Oh, they're
like.
For sure equal A stories. Let's do Jack.
All right. So this is his first Valentine's Day with Alyssa. Not yet. Mm-hmm. And he's all excited about where they're going to go on their date. And she's like, first, we have to go to church. And I just love this joke where she's like, please don't tell me you're one of those convenient Catholics that only goes to church every Sunday. That is such a fantastic joke. Because I was like, oh, yeah, only on Easter and Christmas. Like, no, only Sunday. Every Sunday. Like, that is such a great joke.
Because they have mass
joke.
Every day at Catholic churches, right?
There are options. Yeah, yeah. It cracks me up. I think that is such a fantastic freaking joke.
It's a really good one. I really find it funny.
So he's like, all right, we're gonna go. But so Jack talks about this dessert at Plunder, which is the place where he wants to take Alyssa.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And again, Alyssa, I think this is such a cool plot line because again, it's comparing Jack, who's this capitalist, wealthy, upper crust, and then sweet Alyssa, who is lower middle class to even poverty level, like just getting by, and with the desserts of the McFlurry, which isn't that the Senior Macho Solo?
No, the Senior.
What's the name of the McFlurry? That's what we, or maybe they don't say McFlurry. Maybe it's a McRib. I'm thinking of
the McRib is the Senior Macho Solo. The McRib is
the McFlurry.
Yeah, I can't remember what they call it.
It's called something. But I just think it's so, it's such an interesting thing through this theme of like these desserts and this like, he wants this like crazy intense lifestyle of like, you know, the plunder and the gold and stuff. Mm-hmm. But really he's happy. He's really happy with her and just their like McFlurry life, which is delicious and accessible and not as fancy, but super filling and wonderful.
Yeah.
And I just think it's like a really interesting like visual metaphor for their relationship.
I love, though, that like Jack is explaining this thing to Liz, like it's $1,000. It's vanilla ice cream from so and so and chocolate syrup and gold and truffles. And can you imagine anything better? And she's like, I don't know. Have you ever put a donut in the microwave? Like, Liz doesn't have high standards. And then did you hear the joke? Because she walked in and I went, oh, my gosh, that scarf. And she found the scarf at a Dunkin' Donuts.
I love that the sadness of Dunkin' Donuts in her life.
Sadness.
They're really building that.
I think it's pure happiness for her.
She loves it. But again, that shot from a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
The customers were so depressing. And they just hear, hi, when do you start giving away the donuts?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Liz.
So
his fake enthusiasm is so great.
It's so true. So they go to church because that's what they need to do before they go to dinner. And Jack is like, oh, my gosh, this is staying so long because mass is not a short thing. And they're sitting there and they start doing the Lord's Prayer. And Jack decides to use that opportunity as a time to call Jonathan to integrate his, he kind of put like a weird owl, right? Mm-hmm. And like put his own words into the Lord. I didn't write it all out, but I thought it was
fantastic. I like that you're calling this a weird owl. That's so funny.
That's the one thing I could... I'm like, it wasn't a song, but there was hilarious. Just something about it.
Yeah, no, he like is obviously just trying to communicate with Jonathan. But I mean, that was never going to fly. She was always going to catch it. It was why... I don't know why he didn't tell Jonathan earlier to push it. Mm-hmm. They clearly were going to be in church before. I just... None of that. It's just a really weird little bit.
Right.
But it's just so funny. They're talking... And then that scene where they're praying for all the pregnant women and they just do like the pan of like five different pregnant women. And they all have the same last name. Like, he's going through the A's.
Yeah, still. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I love that Elisa does such a good, like, mother in church look with Jack when she can see what he's doing and talking to Jonathan on the phone. And she gets that mother in church look when her children is disobeying thing going on. And
for
I
sure.
love it.
For sure. Really, really. Yeah, the censure she offers is very, very entertaining.
So then, before they leave, though, real quick.
He has to go. They have to...
Confession.
Okay, he's been great. We have to go to confession. Did you have any favorites of things he did?
Well, of the things he did, the one thing... Did you notice this? The I once proclaimed I am God during a deposition.
I love that. I love that. You know why? Because can you visualize
it? Okay, but So Alec Baldwin plays a character in the movie Malice, and during a deposition... He's a doctor, and in the deposition, he says, I once proclaimed I am God during a deposition.
Wait. In a deposition, he says that he does it in a different...
No. He was in the movie Malice, and his character was a doctor. And in the movie, his doctor character was in a deposition. And in the deposition, he said, I am God.
God, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying that he was in a deposition in this movie where he stated that he said, I am God, in another deposition.
No.
This is too many layers. That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting.
Like, I love that line ahead of time.
How did you know
anyway,
that?
It was mentioned in the IMDb trivia and on AV Club.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's because it's such a funny line. I once claimed I am God, and they love to pull from his movie stardom.
Mm-hmm.
And they
I
love to
it.
Pull, as we see later, from his like different experiences. It's so funny.
I love that as he was going through his thing, though, that when he finally got to talk about the stuff that happened in Washington, D.C., he's like, whew, that's actually a nice one to get off my shoulders. Like, he was so happy to be able to tell somebody about what happened there. That he sodomized our vice president. Like,
oh,
it was, I was so happy for him.
Be
in
gentle
that moment.
With me.
Yeah.
That shot of him just like pulling off the jacket, it's too much.
And then he just, I like when he's like, when he's describing his not sexual history, like what he wants to do with Elisa or whatever, and the priest's like, come on, man, like, have you ever been with a woman? Come on, man. And then he just runs out, and then Elisa is pissed.
I know that poor priest, they didn't prepare me for this.
No, right?
Which to me is ridiculous, but I love it. Also, I love that he makes a Harvard, like, he digs at Harvard.
Yeah,
like, I went to Harvard Divinity School. You crimsons always bring it out. Right? It's such a dick move.
And so then, like, Elisa's pissed, and they're like standing outside in the foyer.
I actually want to go back. There's one other line. He goes, like, why are you doing this? He goes, why do men build bridges? Why are there jets? I was hoping to have sex. Just such a funny line.
I like that.
Why are there jets
and bridges?
Oh my gosh. It's great. Man. Anyway, so sorry. So Lisa's pissed at him.
So she's scolding him, and she's like, you're going to talk to me about this in front of St. Lucia, the patron saint of judgmental statues. So that's not actually what that statue is for.
What?
Of course, I think this was on the IMDb trivia, but it says, Elisa scolds Jack for propositioning her so close to the statue of Santa Lucia, the patron saint of judgmental statues. Santa Lucia, aka Saint Lucy, is actually the patron saint of the blind. She was blinded as a part of her martyrdom, and artistic depictions of her often include her holding her own eyes. This episode also includes a subplot in which Kenneth falls in love with a blind woman.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, so I had originally written that, I thought it was the page stand of judgmental statues. I loved that, and then I found that little fact. I'm like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Oh my goodness, that's a really fun fact, Kelsey. That is literally a fun fact,
right?
It's kind of not. I mean, it's about a patron saint whose eyes were plucked out, but still,
you know. I'm like, and then she went on Doctor Who and became.
Oh, no, those are angels, not saints. Those are angels. She didn't have wings. I know. I can never be around an angel statue again.
There is a house that I house that for that had a little baby angel statue in the backyard, and I was like, nope, not having those dogs to go by themselves late at night, like. They go in the back by themselves. And that storyline ends with Elisa's sitting in church by herself now because she's mad at Jack. Jack is left, and the offering plate comes around. She finds a coupon for a McFlurry.
Wait, we're going fast. I want to go back. Oh, I love when she starts shouting at him in front of that statue. She was like, I'm yelling in Spanish like Ricky Ricardo.
Yes.
I was impressed he could keep up with her, first of all, but I love that Ricky Ricardo bit because it is true. I love every time on an I Love Lucy when he does that. It's so funny.
And then Lucy just starts crying.
I know. There's also a really great Ricky Ricardo mural on Western that I drove by today that I always really like. Aww. Yeah. God bless Ricky Ricardo. And I like that she was like, you have a photo with the Pope? He goes, yeah, and the Dalai Lama and Toby Keith, yeah. Who is clearly the Pope of evangelical Christianity, which is such a weird joke to make. And then the best one is she's like, you'll never see these again. And she grabs her breasts. And this, the seriousness in which she says, this conversation has taken an unfortunate turn. Yeah. It's so funny, that line. It's just, it's what's great about it, that's one of those great jokes where the line itself is a good line, but it's how I feel about anything Ross does on Friends.
Yeah.
It's what he brought to that line, and it's the absolute tone shift. It's the physical and the tone shift of the way he's talking up here. This conversation has taken an unfortunate turn.
It's like him breaking the fourth wall to himself, sort of.
It's so funny. It's so funny because you could just see how much all he wants is to be with her and to be physical with her. And he's just so, no, like, this is not going the way I need. It's so funny. I can't, even me explaining it's not as good. I just love that line.
You're not as good as Alec Baldwin? What?
No, isn't it shocking?
Dang.
Ugh. But I love it. It makes me laugh so hard when he says it. And I like to say that in other situations. Like, oh, this conversation has taken an unfortunate turn. That's one of those ones I've adopted from the show. And then the way she pluralized underwears. You will never see the crazy underwears I have on.
She just
I want to pluralize underwears like that.
Underwears.
You don't know what underwears I have. Oh, my goodness.
Is that something you normally say to people?
I do. I say it all the time. I'll say it all the time. So, but when they leave, he goes to plunder to plunder.
Yeah.
That waiter is awful.
Right?
Like, fire that guy. I know this, but this is, what is that waiter doing? I know they were just trying to make a point about how lonely he is, but that was awful. I did not get that moment.
No, that was not. That was just sad. That was rude.
It's hard for me to be like, that kid would have lost his job in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make sense. They could have said he's lonely in another way.
So there was like this article that was like all the food, like the references in 30 Rock and like the food places or whatever. And it mentioned that there was $1,000 dessert. Like he mentioned at this place called Serendipity 3. Well, so I look up Serendipity 3 on Yelp and everyone has like 3 stars. And I looked at their website and it looks like somebody made it in like Microsoft Word and like, I don't think it's the same thing. I hope it's not the same thing. And I couldn't find their menu to see if it was still on there. But back in 2013, apparently Serendipity 3 had higher standards of what they provided.
No, I mean, my old coworker had an incredibly expensive dessert in Dubai. He liked to talk about where like it was one of those crazy, amazing desserts. They were given them for being there. Someone gifted it to them.
Yeah.
But it was insane. Like he was describing it. They exist, man. People love it's like those really ridiculous commercials that are like opulence with the tiny giraffe. Who was in that? There was someone famous in one of those.
I don't know. I'm just happy with $1.50 ice cream sandwiches from
Look,
Debris.
I will take a McFlurry. I will take a senior macho solo. I know it's the wrong one, but still any day.
I love it. So yeah, so they're at McDonald's together and
how beautiful. And the fact that I actually really like that moment too. She was like, it is a sign from God. He goes, I think the greatest capital enterprise on earth brought us together. And it's so funny. I don't know. I know that's just like a throwaway, but I really enjoy that, this idea that like people are just always going to see things differently and that they kind of can push past them in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really interesting.
Just, you know, the McFlurry is a Signor Flurry and then Signor Macho Solo is a McRib.
Okay.
Just so we're
Signor Flurry.
Right on
Mr. Flurry. I love it.
Mr. Flurry.
Mick doesn't mean Mr. That's so interesting.
I don't know. Macho Solo, though, doesn't that mean like a single man, basically?
Yeah, the McRib is a single man. Yeah. Mr. Single Man. Because who else gets a McRib? Am I right?
Right.
Mean joke.
Okay.
I think that's his. That's just my favorite line.
This conversation has taken an unfortunate turn.
Always makes me laugh so hard. But let's get to Drew and Liz, to John Hamm, who's wearing a stupid tie in the beginning. And I love it.
He is.
He looks like it's so cute. He's a pediatrician. That's such a pediatrician's tie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's like nice man wears kind of silly tie or one wears silly shirt so the kids feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It was really cute.
Which, when I think of pediatricians, I always just think of the wedding planner and Matthew McConaughey's character in the beginning. Because she, like, tells Jennifer Lopez, you have a big neck. And she's like, my neck's big? Like, well, I'm used to dealing with, like, 5 or 6 year olds. And she's all nervous.
You're right. They do that. This is just mid Mad Men for him. He's got that floppy hair. Did you ever watch any Mad Men?
I watched the first season or two, I think.
Okay, yeah. So you saw him in action. It's so interesting to me. He's such an incredible dramatic actor, but now he almost does more comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, he was pretty serious in Baby Driver.
In the AV Club article for this, the guy, and he was being funny about it, but he's like, and John Hamm's back, and he's like, of Day the Earth Stood Still fame.
Oh like, my right, God, I forgot he's in that.
This like a year or two after Mad Men started, though, so it's just kind of funny that, and he was just being funny about it. Like, this is where you know him from Day the Earth Stood Still.
Dude, no, that's a great joke. I just forget how early on in his career, because I remember how big this was that he did this, and mm-hmm. everyone's like, oh, he's actually super, because they didn't just have him in. That's what's cool about the show, is they really give their guest characters usually very funny characters and roles to play. Like, often guest stars don't get to be very funny, because if you're a guest star, you're probably not a part of it.
Yeah.
Funny. They give their guest stars really funny roles, and he nails this. But I forget, because I remember when he showed up and how obsessed everyone was with him. And then he did this in Bridesmaids, and everyone was like, mm-hmm. Bridesmaids was like 2 years after this. But whoa.
Oh, that's right. He's the jerk in Bridesmaids. I was like trying to remember what he was in.
Oh my gosh. He's just so... I'm sorry. It's that stupid thing, but I'm just wowed by talent. It's just really talented. and also by handsomeness. And he's super handsome.
Good looking.
And good looking. And funny. And I just will always, we've already talked about it, but I'll say it again. Ham and Bubbly, best SNL sketch. We talked about that, right? Where him and Michael Bublé oh my God, it's a sketch where him and Michael Bublé run a restaurant. It's on SNL. And it's called Ham and Bubbly.
That's adorable.
And he's like, with me, John Hammond, Michael Bublé. And Michael's like, oh, it's Bublé. He goes, it's Bubbly. And basically you just realize Michael sing. And Michael starts singing and basically starts singing how he's been kidnapped by John Hammond, being kept in the basement just sitting at this restaurant. And John Hammond keeps walking behind. And what they serve is champagne glazed ham and champagne with chunks of ham in it. It's so good.
And champagne with bubbly in it.
champagne with bubbly?
Because champagne has bubbles.
Oh, that's why they're serving champagne.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Bubbly.
Yeah. I'm saying the same. Like, I was like, because you're actually
but
ham,
I
like,
that was, oh. I'm sorry, that was obvious. I thought they were doing champagne and ham. So they did ham glaze and champagne and then champagne with ham in it.
I brought the joke full circle.
Oh, there we go. Okay, that's what happened.
Because jokes
so
are
lost.
Always best when you explain them in detail.
It's a really great sketch. We should share it because it's wonderful.
I will.
And I think that was actually the time he was on SNL when Tina Fey was watching to see if he was funny and could do the show.
Oh, got it.
I think. I'm not 100%, but I think.
I think that's canon.
It's in. It's in.
The episode starts with Liz and John and Drew running into each other at the mailroom, and there's just kind of this awkward like, oh, we should try that date again, da da da, like let's finally go on that first date. And I related to Liz so much in that moment where suddenly he's like, what about Friday? And she's like, ah, I have a stupid show. We're like, in the moment sometimes you say like, ugh, I have to go do this, even though you're really excited for that thing, but like when another opportunity comes up you feel like you have to pretend you don't want to go to that other thing, even though you do. Like I just related to her a lot in that moment. And so then they decide, let's go on Saturday, and she's like, well, and he's like, well, I guess that doesn't have to be weird, it's Valentine's
Drew,
Day.
Fight it, man, it's gonna be weird.
Yeah. And I just it was just great.
So great.
Liz is trying to figure out, what should I do? Like,
and she's talking to Jack about it.
Yes.
And he's like, make him a nice meal. And she immediately goes, stew.
You mean like stew? No.
Which, in her defense, I'm a stew maker myself, so I do understand the appeal in a cold winter's night of a nice stew.
Oh.
But
I like stew in general. I think I never make it. I like when my mom makes it. But
there's this great joke in here too, where he's like, it's a Bundy-esque serial killer situation.
Yes, which that's comes full circle at the end too.
Well, that's what's really funny is a comedian I love named Kara Klank tells a really great joke about, basically it's just because she at that point had just got married. She's like, I'm married now, so glad not to be dating. Like, dating's super hard. She goes, you know, dating's hard because Ted Bundy's girlfriend called the police 3 times saying, I think my boyfriend's the serial killer.
Oh my gosh.
Never broke up with him. But when then she was like, I wondered, like, it was like, she like, that's how hard dating is that his girlfriend stayed with him throughout that. And it's one of the funniest jokes. It kills me.
That's oh my God.
It's so bad. I had no idea. It's so funny. Go Kara Klank.
Oh goodness.
Kara Klank, everyone. She's funny. Look her up.
I'll see if I can find that sketch and share it.
Oh, it's just it's a stand-up bit. I don't know if it'll be online, but maybe. Bublé, you should.
The Bublé.
Bubbly.
Bubbly. So they end up having their date, and she did, in fact, make stew.
Stew.
And it's her own recipe. It's when I use cheddar cheese instead of water. And then she apologizes for not realizing what was Valentine's Day. And he was like, you know, I kind of figured out when the rotting jack-o'-lantern was outside and it's March. Or I guess it's February, sorry. And she's like, yeah, I just wanted to see. It's just so tiny. I want to see if it'll shrivel up into nothing. And I just moved. But beforehand, my roommates, we had a pumpkin. I think we had one on the front porch and on the back patio. And we kept the front porch one, we went away, we threw away, but the back patio one, we ended up just trying to see like how, we didn't cut it like a jack-o'-lantern, but just to see how long it would stay. And it stayed out there until March, like unshriveled, un-everything. And we only got rid of it in March because our place got exterminated. Exterminate, is that the right word? Termites, the Terminator.
Exterminate.
Is that the right word? They came and they tented our exterminators, house. Exterminators, so I got rid of it at that point. But it lasted.
Maybe
a long
that's
time.
Why you had the termites.
Maybe that's why. It was scheduled with the whole complex. But
still, that's maybe so it's weird.
Fault. Yeah. So
Drew's because it's dry here.
Yeah, that's true too.
It dries a lot,
and
of
we didn't
out
cut
of.
It at all too. So I think that probably helped. So she's out there, she's serving him soup, and she's telling a story and how she was born on the border of Maryland and Pennsylvania. And he's like, I feel like I need to stop you right now because your boob is falling out of your shirt.
His face afterwards too was like, look is so weird.
And she just mumbles, it's not the good one either. It's just so funny.
Oh my goodness. His face in that is so great. Yeah. This is the date from hell.
It's oh man. And then they're like sitting there real close together and about to get romantic, and she's like, hang on 1 second. And it's funny, I realized, I was like, oh, it kind of got louder, and I watched the closed captioning, and it says Liz increases volume because she knows she's going to the bathroom to have a situation at the moment, so she increases the volume on the music or the TV to help block out some noise.
Good girl.
And she goes into the bathroom. All of a sudden Drew, oh, he's like, your stew's done or something's done, so your brownies are done. He goes in the kitchen to open up the thing. She's yelling, don't open up the kitchen window. He opens up the kitchen window. Her bathroom door swings open while she's on the toilet.
We have issues with that sort of, not with the bathroom, but that in this apartment, just because it has to do with how the draft moves through.
Yeah. Which I've heard that actually happens in there's one of the doors in the Oval Office, I've heard, has that same issue, that if the right combination of door, I don't remember where I heard this, but the thing that there,
who do you know that would know this?
I can't remember. I read the autobiography for the kid who was Barack Obama's body man, like his Charlie Young, and I can't remember if it was in his autobiography or not. But I read that or heard that somewhere. Maybe it was on the West Wing podcast or something, but that there's a certain series of if this door, which kind of, because like the Oval Office at the end, and it's right, like I think just the way the wind circles through it, that if the right combination is opened, the other door will open.
Mm-hmm. Which is like my worst nightmare. This situation, that part, everything else handleable, that is my worst nightmare.
Okay, I was just,
I'll even take the boob thing, that is my worst nightmare.
Oh, actually, so I was watching the other morning, I was waking up and like some video popped up on Facebook, and it was like some kid live streaming him playing video games, and he was at an unfamiliar house, and there were two doors behind him on the couch, and so he was live streaming, and the two doors behind him, one was open, one was closed, and the closed one kept opening and shutting and opening and shutting. And it was creepy because he was playing and didn't notice it, but the people watching his live stream were like, dude, the door's opening behind you. And he's like, what? Like it's the cat, but the cat was like sitting next to him on the couch. He's like, I'm here alone. And he's like, oh, whatever. And he kept playing. Then like the other door, the light kept turning on and off, and it went over and over and over and over again. It was like, that to me is like the terror of house sitting. Like I'm not allowed to, I can't watch like any scary movies leading up to or while I'm house sitting at a house, because if I hear some creepy noise. But anyway,
did they ever get to the bottom of it? This is a cliffhanger.
No, it was like a 5-minute video, and I watched the first 3 minutes of it. I don't know if he died.
What? Kelsey, I don't know what to do with you. Like, literally, why did you not finish the damn video?
I was getting ready for work.
I'm almost mad right now because that's so interesting. And it has no ending. Nope. Why did you tell that story?
Just to drive people crazy.
Oh my God.
I'll see if I can find the video again and post it. And
please
maybe someone
do.
Else, someone else can tell me how it ends.
I'm like genuinely annoyed right now. I can't believe you didn't finish the video and that you told that story anyway, even though you didn't finish the video.
Yeah, I did. I don't know how it ends. The pre probably gets killed and then posts it on YouTube. And then I just want to say all these bad things are happening. Drew's ex-wife calls him to drop off his daughter, Bethany. And
that girl, they chose a really good girl. She's funny and she's scary.
She reminded me so much of Carrie and Mark's daughter in ER, Rachel, when she was such a little brat when she was younger. And then as she gets older, like, sorry, that's an ER reference there. Like, there was just something about her that reminded me so much of Rachel. And I'm pretty sure her name was Rachel. And it just, Anyway,
that's they just made very distinct choices with her eyeliner. They like, I don't know, the way
like a little young Avril Lavigne sort of a thing going
for
on
for sure. But just like the whole thing, the bracelets, like, because Liz wasn't that girl in high school, and I relate more to who Liz was in high school, and I could just, that girl, if I met her now, I'd be afraid of her.
Okay, but I remember that being a thing, like, not with those specific Liv Strong type bracelets, but that being a thing, and like, that's what, like, silly
that's
bands,
the thing people did in your school.
Like, I, like, my friends didn't, because we were all nerds, but like, that was a thing where it was like, what was the thing? If you could take the clear, like, when you like open up a soda bottle and in the lid, there's like a clear little disc you can pop out, and you could stretch it out. But like, at my school, at a point, it was like, however many bracelets of those you had was like how many guys you'd made out with. Like, it was totally like, it was stupid, and it was just like a thing, though.
Gross.
Yeah, it was gross. But I just love that John Hamm, when like the ex-wife calls dropping off Bethany, he's kind of like, look, this kind of a weird first date between the stew and the bathroom and like that sort of thing. He's like, we can just embrace it that it's weird, or we can end now. And she's like, let's do it. Let's see what's happening. And I just like
props
that.
To her that she leaned in. She regretted it very quickly.
Very
afterwards.
Quickly.
And the way that girl turns around, he's like, wow, Liz, you killed the bottle. And then she catches her, the daughter, drinking it. Liz knew, like, dear yes. Lord, that girl is the worst.
Well, I love
thing.
It too when like Bethany's at the door and John, and she's like, mom's keying your car. And he's like, all right. He's like, give me your purse. And she's like, oh, why don't you trust me? He's like, because honey, you keep setting things on fire. Like,
but also, why did he think it was a good idea for his daughter to meet a woman? Here's the thing. Obviously, for Liz, it's not great to meet someone's daughter, because that would be really uncomfortable. But like, for his daughter's clearly acting out and having a terrible time. It was a terrible idea.
Oh, for sure.
Men make silly choices.
But like,
just kidding. Men are great, but still.
But knowing like what we end up learning about Drew in the future.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. You're right. I didn't think about that. Because I forget, we're still kind of in a different phase with Drew right now.
Right. We haven't seen that other part of him. That mm-hmm. was my Will Arnett voice.
it was really scary.
Talking like this competition. So the whole wine bottle thing happens, blah, blah. And then he gets another call and his mother is dying. and he's saying something that makes Liz think that he's like, all right, like, let's end this date. Instead, he's like, I'm really glad you're here with me. So now Liz is headed to the hospital with Drew and his daughter. And what is the line that, or when he's on the phone with his sister and his daughter just goes, she's going to hate you. So then Liz is there with him and gets there, and the doctor's like, your mother would like to have a final word with just you. So everybody else leaves. Liz goes to lead. Drew holds her hand, is so happy she's there right now. And here's like, whatever's happening, and then Drew leaves and she's still there, and the mother does a deathbed confession that she is not actually Drew's mother, it's his grandmother, and the one he thinks is his mother, his sister, is really his, like, just, there's just all of these things. And I went, does Liz ever end up telling Drew, do you think, that the woman he thought was his mother was actually his grandmother?
I don't know,
like, does that ever come up?
It sounds like that's what she's telling him when they're walking out.
Does she end up saying that to him?
She's like, about that. And they turn around. So
also,
she does
end up saying it to him.
She does. But man, that's such an intense moment. It's just like everything's worst nightmare.
Oh, totally. And then it ends with them walking past the McDonald's. And that's when Jack sees them and goes, boy, I hope that guy's not planning to kill her and eat her.
And then I like how Lisa's like, oh, Jack.
Oh, you're such a romantic.
It's so funny. But
oh, man.
I mean, yeah, like, Drew's so sweet and romantic with her as they walk by.
Right.
Those crazy kids, I hope they found love.
I know. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great episode. I love this. They all, their Valentine's Day episodes are, it's like Friends,
it's
and
like
their Thanksgiving episodes and 30 Rock and their Valentine's Day episodes.
No, it totally makes sense. If you think about it thematically, it really works for 30 Rock because
totally
of what we're doing with like her journey to have it all.
Mm-hmm.
I love their Thanksgiving episodes are great.
Right. There was another thing.
And Community and its Halloween episodes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And Seinfeld and their, oh wait, I don't know,
their Christmas episodes.
Really?
At least one is
Isn't
very
that?
famous, the Festivus.
Oh, okay.
The Festivus for the rest of us.
Oh, cute.
Look at what you could have known if you watched it. Seinfeld.
Can you imagine my references including Seinfeld? That would just break my brain. I think I'd have so many other things to say. One thing we didn't talk about in the Kenneth storyline was the joke that he has a mouth on his back.
I forgot about
that. Because
the
whole reason the blind girl is there is because NBC tries to give jobs to disabled, and he goes, I wouldn't have had this job if it weren't for my mouth on my back. And then he like does a little like, and he's like, I'm just funning. It's all sewed up, like pretending the mouth is talking, and it's so funny.
So gross. It's like Chandler's third nipple.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just such a weird thing. A mouth on your back.
Oh, man. which just makes me think like when I think of a mouth on, but I think like, oh, you ate your twin. Like that's what I would kind of assume why there would be a mouth on. You're not that. That's
another great Andrea Martin joke. So,
Who?
She's the mom in Great News, and she was the aunt. She's Aunt Vula.
Right.
With my twin.
That's a joke in Community and in
Who ate their twin in Community?
Chang.
You're right.
And in The Office, Dwight ate his twin.
Mm-hmm. Dwight for sure ate his twin. So he's that he has the full strength NBC of a Brown grown joke. Man and of a grown man and a baby fetus.
Yes.
Such a good joke.
Do you have any funny lines or favorite lines?
I really like the line where he was like, it does have a name. It's stopshowingoff.com.
Yes. So good.
So funny.
I love it.
The name .com finally works so well in that moment. Totally. I love that line. How about you?
I loved when Kenneth is, as I'm like acting it, Kenneth is sitting there like in La La Land and the phone's ringing and Tracy picks it up the phone and goes, NBC, blah, blah, blah. Thank you. And hangs up. I love that line. And then there's also the line where when Jack is telling Liz like, oh, we're going to mass tonight, you know, church, and Liz goes, if I had those knockers, I'd be thanking God too. But I think it's just a great line.
That is a really good line.
I think that does it for my my notes on this one.
I think we nailed it.
Oh, the other thing I did, I liked for a fashion corner, Liz's socks when she's on the toilet are pretty great.
Yeah, they're great socks. Yeah. I love that she really went for it on this date. That blouse is entertaining too. Mm-hmm. It's pretty early aughts.
Yeah.
Liz has some great outfits. This was not my favorite.
Yeah.
This is not my favorite. God bless her.
It's her.
She looks good, but not into it.
Trying to dress up.
Oh, Drew.
Yeah. So handsome. I really enjoyed this episode.
This was a winner. This season is just a fabulous season. So it's really hard to get a miss on this one.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree indeed.
And I will watch every John Hamm episode a million times. Cause
amen.
Super
I mean,
funny.
I'll watch every episode a million times. But also, we didn't mention that I think it's a while before we see Colleen again because she's back in Florida.
She's back in
which
Florida.
Which is why they're so excited to have this date today.
I know. Except there's like less reason for them to see each other. Like, she's got to get more work and it's not going to be with him. Anyway, that's
right.
The whole thing.
Yeah, well.
I worried about the logistics a little bit, but it's not my place.
That's such a Kelsey thing to do.
I know. You've changed me. You've changed me so much.
That does it for this episode.
That's 30 Rock.
Do.
But this episode, not all of it.
Not all, but just
I'm sleepy,
episode.
Kelsey.
You can go take a nap.
I'm gonna go take a nap. But this was fun. I like talking 30 Rock, and the turtles are happy to be listening. They're the new mascots of this podcast
for the next week.
The next week, and then they're going too. The cat's gone. Bye, Henny.
Oh,
so much of changing,
right? One of your roommates has got to bring in an animal or something.
All right. They can't because one
I'm
of
excited
allergic.
For my, we've had roommate changes. My roommates have a chocolate lab puppy.
Ooh.
That is currently at hunting school. That will be back in September. And
that's going to be fun.
So excited to have a dog in my life again.
I love having dogs.
Sorry, Susa. I love you, but you don't live with me. I think that does it. Kimmy, where can people find you?
At Kimchi Lucas everywhere. Follow me. I haven't been posting a while because I broke my good phone and I'm using an old phone that doesn't have a great camera. So... But I tweet every now and then. I don't know. Do that and then come to Radio Picture Show, second Wednesday of every month. Come see Rando Shows at the Nerd Melt. There's a good chance I'll be there.
Rando Shows at the Nerd Melt.
I know,
that'd
isn't
be
that great?
A good show.
It's like
name.
A roulette. It's like, ooh, will we get Kimmy or will we not? Like, right. Who knows?
I'm trying to take a picture of you and you're all fuzzy.
I'm sorry, I'm moving. I'm going to just do this.
You're fine. You can find me places at Redheaded Blonde on Twitter and on Instagram. You might find me in LA and Los Feliz at Kimmy's apartment.
Other than that,
unless you're in Orange County, you won't see me anyplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find our podcast places at Talk30Rock to me on Instagram and Twitter. Email us at talk30rock@gmail.com and send us some love because we appreciate that.
And art. Kimmy wants art.
I love it. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Do
been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.